said at the beginning, Hugh's going to come up and give a few reflections on some of the words that we've been hearing over the last, I guess, what, 6 months, huh? And then lead us in a little time for reflection afterwards.
So, good afternoon, everybody. How are you doing? This is a really easy talk to do because I'm just going to kind of read out what's already been said. That's a really hard talk to do because it's the word of the Lord to us, and to filter it, to organize it, to sort it, to do anything with it is somewhat in fear and trepidation. So it's not a talk and a teaching in that kind of sense. So I'd really invite you all to stay in a posture of worship. Because this is the Lord speaking to us basically from the anniversary weekend and beyond. About 20 pages of prophecies written down, transcribed. And really the objective today is to replay, to revisit some of these, to revisit what the Lord has said to us. I mean, I don't know how this works for you, but, you know, I hear a word at a meeting and I say, ah, that was really profound. That spoke to me. I must go back and listen to it during the week. And somehow I never do. So hopefully this will be a benefit to us all as we revisit the Word of God. So there's kind of really three groupings of words that I'm going to address. Encouragement, restoration, and giving our all. And I'm going to read a small number of key words that I think are kind of really significant for us in those areas. And I can't actually see the clock at the back. Maybe if I do that. Depending. it's more relative. How many minutes am I in? Depending on how the time is going, I may just give sort of one sentence reminders of some of the other words that we had. So, Lord, just be with us as we go back to what you have said to us. Lord, we want to be attentive to what you say to us. We don't want to be foolish people like those who look in the mirror and forget what we look like. We want to hear your word, Lord, and we want to let it change us. So, Lord, move by your Holy Spirit amongst us as we revisit your word, that you can make us more like yourself, that you can purify us, you can strengthen us, you can heal us, you can restore us, you can equip us for the battle that we're in. Amen. Okay, so on the theme of encouragement, I want to start off with actually, once again, Bruce's last word to us in the meeting on January 9th. And yes, he introduced talking about Psalm 23 and Phil Townsend, but what he went on to say was, and what really touched me about it was, there is no promise of healing for Phil, and there is no anxiety about it. Is God going to heal me or is God not? It's just God is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I have no anxiety. And I think that's where we need to be, just trusting in the Lord, that he will lead us, he will guide us, that we are on his path. And we just heard that a moment ago, didn't we? There is a line from John Henry Newman's poem, Lead Kindly Light, where he says, keep thou my feet, I do not ask to see the distant scene, one step enough for me. So we don't need to know what's coming or what's going on. If we are following the Lord, if we are on his path, no anxieties, no anxieties. And blessed be God, Bruce is seeing that distant scene now. That's close for him. No anxieties, no anxieties. And in November, Bruce spoke another word to us. As I was praying for the meeting today over and over again, what I heard the Lord say simply is, be at peace. Be at peace. Calm yourself. Be at peace. I know what you need. And he read from Psalm 103, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And I just heard the Lord saying, I know you. I know your weakness. I know your sin. I know all about you. I know your circumstances. I know your fears. I am your father. Be at peace. And I think it's lovely that we've, again, just been hearing of that during the meeting today. The Lord calling us to be at peace. He knows us. He knows us through and through. He knows what he's dealing with. He knows my 5-second attention span. He knows how many times I get distracted in prayer. Be at peace. And at the same meeting, Daniel Turner had this sense, as we were praying, I had the image of someone who, on the end of a very long journey, they were just beaten and down. They've been far from God for a long time, and they're on this journey like the prodigal son coming back home. And they're reaching the end of that journey, but they don't know they're reaching the end of the journey. They're just sort of going along, and they've got their head down. And then from the distance, you just see the Father calling them, saying, look up. Look up. I'm here. Look up. With my arms outstretched, with a ring, with a robe, come to me. Look up. I am here. And lastly in this section, Amy shared with us in December. In my Advent readings recently, at one point, reading from Luke 1, where the angel of the Lord appears to Zechariah, and from verse 12, and Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. And it was just that phrase, your prayer has been heard, that's been staying with me since then. Just then in the worship, I felt as if the Lord was saying in the season of Advent, of waiting, some of us are holding prayers and things that we've been asking the Lord about time and time again. And maybe there's a sense of disappointment, and he just wants to tell you, your prayer has been heard. And I'd like us just to be still a moment and let those words be in us. Words of encouragement. The word knows us. The Lord knows us. He knows who we are. He knows our disappointments. He knows our weakness, our lack of perseverance sometimes. The Lord knows. And he loves, and he welcomes, and he embraces. Some words of restoration. From the anniversary weekend, Bruce shared with us, I experienced as we came in here a very strong image from the Lord that the Lord, through our love for one another, wants to make us good soil. He wants to make us good soil so that the seed of life and the gifts that he's given each one of us can flourish. That if we love one another, if we pay attention to one another, if we respect one another, if we make room for one another's gifts, God will make us good soil, and his life will flourish. At the Catholic Mass this morning, Father John said that welcoming one another is a powerful thing, and it is welcoming one another's gifts, paying attention to the people who don't get attention, looking to see where God's gifts are with the people who are too shy to use them. God wants to make us good soil for one another. And to me, that sounds like a great place to be. But I'm also mindful that a good soil often comes about through the generous application of unpleasant organic matter. And our lives can feel full of that sometimes. And I often think of that, you know, the fig tree, and Jesus is in the parable, Jesus saying, let's cut down the unfruitful fig tree, and the gardener says, let me manure it one more year, and good soil. Don't we want to be good soil for one another? Good soil for the Lord. And also in that amazing prayer meeting at the anniversary weekend, Claire shared with us that she had a word from John 13, where Jesus is washing the disciples' feet and bows low before them, and Peter reacts. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus tells him he'll understand later. And Peter says, no, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answers, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And Lord, Peter says, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And I felt the Lord just wanted to be before us, washing our feet, bowing low before us and saying, would you let me wash your feet? Let me come. Let me come to wherever it is, wherever you need the washing. If it's in disappointment or if it's in isolation or grief or sadness, wherever we need it, Jesus is here to wash our feet. He bows before us in humility and encourages us to let him wash us so that we might have a part with him, with Jesus. And this one really struck me at the time and is still with me strongly. Helen shared with us again at the anniversary weekend. She talked about people who managed to make it and people who hadn't. And then she said, and one of the youngsters yesterday, thank God that she was here partly due to the fact that people had stood alongside her while it was really difficult. And I think that's what we're called to. It's to stand alongside one another through thick and thin, through the hard times and the questions, as well as the really happy times. And I think we're called to be really real with one another and faithful in prayer for one another, not just today, but as we... where's my page gone? As we go away from here, so we need to strive. I felt that we should be striving for unity, not plastering over difficulties or differences, but striving for unity and holding one another and respecting one another and looking out for one another. And to be real with one another. I'm very good at showing you my strong points. I'm very good at being in my comfort zone and doing the things I'm comfortable with. I am not so good at perhaps in sharing group, being honest with my brothers where I'm struggling. The bits of me that are not in the place that I would like them to be. I think there's a real call to be real with one another. I think there's a real call to be real before the Lord. Let's be real, brothers and sisters. Emzo shared with us in October, Nehemiah. I've been reflecting on Nehemiah this past week and the idea of rebuilding and bringing things together. So when the Israelites returned to Jerusalem, they saw the city in a mess. The walls are broken. And they were just scared at the enormity of the task that was in front of them. And they had a lot of opposition to rebuilding. And the Lord reassured them that he was there and he was with them. And the strong sense that I get as we're moving into and transitioning is the Lord wants to remind us that, yes, the task is difficult. The task is hard. Actually, it's impossible if it's just us. But I'm with you. Get your strength from me and I will help you rebuild. Building is hard work. Rebuilding can be even harder. Damaged foundations might require you to dig deeper than you dug the first time to make things secure for the building. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us and gives us grace for the task. And I love this word. Christina, the bread pudding prophecy. It's so irreverent. I have a simple word from the Lord, I think, and it may sound a bit silly, but the word I have is that the best bread pudding is made out of stale bread. And the sense that I feel comes with that is, even in staleness and stagnantness, you might feel a bit like that stale bread that people want to throw out. But the Lord says, I breathe fresh life, new life into you. I have a plan for you. So bring your staleness to me and I will make it into something amazing and beautiful. And all those words there speak to me of restoration. They speak to me that the Lord wants to do things in us and with us. They speak to me that the Lord is not finished with us. We look to ourselves and we're right that we don't have it. We do not have it in us. We are not the answer. And that's because He is the answer. It's His strength, it's His beauty, it's His glory, it's His majesty. And the last little section I want to go through is, in response to this, what do? We give our all to the Lord. And a few super summaries. JP spoke from Matthew 16 about losing our lives, taking up our crosses to gain the life that the Lord has for us. Emzo had a word from 2 Timothy 4 about preaching the word in season and in and out. How we live in an age where people choose teachers of their own liking and how we need to use the protection of community as a base for mission. Mags had a word for those of us holding our breath, holding fear, desperately trying to be in control. Let it out. Yield control to the Lord who knows us and has good for us. And to finish this off, Michael had a word back in November. Speaking of challenges earlier in the worship time, I really experienced a challenge from the Lord, and maybe this will resonate with some of you. The challenge I experienced was the Lord asked me, do you really want me to come? How much do you really want me to come? And I was thinking, actually, I'm pretty okay with the idea of Jesus coming at some point in the future. I don't know. But I'm quite attached to this world and the things in it. And I was really experiencing the Lord telling me, actually, no. You should eagerly desire me to come. And now. And perhaps that will resonate with some of you as well. And in one sense, you listen to a word like that and your first reaction is to feel guilty. I've got to spend 20 hours a day in prayer and 20 hours a day in mission and 20 hours a day serving my brothers and sisters and 20 hours a day studying scripture, and the Lord will come very soon if we try and live that life. We will not last long. But, you know, if we were to meet our Maker tomorrow, would we be proud of how we spent our last evening in this world? Would we be proud of how we spent our last weekend? As His love judges us, how proud would we be of the last conversations we had with those that we love? Significant relationships. So, I think the Lord encourages us. He's not done with us. He's not done with us. He knows us. He knows where we're at. And He wants to restore us. He wants to wash us and cleanse us and renew us. And our response should be, let's give our all to the Lord. Day after day, time after time, His mercies are new for us every morning. His love is fresh for us day after day. He is the one who forgives us time after time. He is the one who wants to love us back to life. Where's my band? Where's the band? I'd love us just to come back into a time of worship, a time just to say, Holy Spirit, take these words and plant them deeply in us. Holy Spirit, take these words take these words and may they take root in our hearts and our lives. Holy Spirit, just fall on us. Give us the encouragement that we need. Bring to us the restoration and the healing that we need. Holy Spirit, help us to open parts of our lives to the Lord that we've never opened before. Help us, Lord Jesus, to let you deeper into our lives. And Lord, help us to respond generously to you. We hold on so desperately so that we can think we're in control. We hold on so desperately because we get tired and we get grumpy and we want to be in control of our lives. But thank you, Lord, that it's only when you're in full control that we are free. It's only when we rest in you that we will find true rest. It is only when we let go of everything, Lord God, that we will have everything in you. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, amongst us. Come and touch those bruised and those sore places in our hearts, in our memories, in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, and make new and make strong. Come, Holy Spirit, that we may let go and let the Lord. Amen.